You know the drill. At the end of the podcast, you're going to hear the closing jingle. Stick around because Luke Combs has a brand new album out, and we had a good 20-some-odd minutes of Luke Combs hanging out with us in the studio that we have compiled together from an hour's worth of the show. So listen to that at the end of the podcast. The last 20 or so minutes is all Luke Combs, y'all.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
That's right, I am a legend.
That's right, he is a legend, and he is. That is High Score Guy. If you're familiar with his exploits, it's pretty amazing. He calls us every couple days and tells us his high scores on his video game that he plays on his computer. High Score Guy is pretty great.
That's right. I am a legend.
See what I mean?
He plays that a lot.
Yeah, like a lot. All day long, and he scores like millions and millions and millions of points.
Billions
even now. Yeah, it's amazing. So the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
That's right. I am a legend.
And they are legendary. So next week is going to be crazy. We are going to be out at the CMA Awards. If you're a podcast listener, you've heard how we do this as well, where, you know, if you're a show listener, you know how we do it. Every year we go out and we do a couple days prior to the actual CMA Awards show live on location. And it's like speed dating with country stars. Every time we take a break, we come back with somebody else. So we might be talking to Tim McGraw. Okay, Tim McGraw, live at the CMAs. Woo, woo. Play a song. Come back after that song. Hey, it's Little Big Town hanging out with us. Play a song. Come back and it's, who knows? I mean, that's the crazy thing. It could be anybody. Runaway June. It could be Miranda Lambert. Whatever. So that is always the craziest time. And it really is. It's like speed dating for country stars. They literally have these handlers that come around with clipboards with a name on it. It'll say like Darius Rucker. And they're like, hey, can you talk to Darius Rucker next? And we're like, oh, well, we can't because Garth Brooks is, we've already promised Garth that we're going to talk with him. And it's the weirdest thing. Like, they have to check off that they've been to all the shows. And it's like, I feel bad telling them no. Like, whenever, like, sometimes they have new artists. And you kind of push the new artist back a little bit to get the Garth Brookses and the, you know, if Taylor's over there or Halsey or Lady Antebellum or whomever it might be.
Why do you keep saying Halsey like everyone knows who she is?
Because everybody needs to know. Halsey's awesome. I love Halsey.
Mama brought up on the show today. He's like, maybe Halsey will be there. And I was like, who's Halsey? You know Halsey. And I'm like, dude, no one knows who Halsey is.
Then I was like, oh, yeah, man. So after the show, I was like, yeah, look, you were wondering who Halsey is. Take a look at this. And
it's a video from the Victoria's Secret model runway thing.
I'm like, you know this song.
And she's singing, like, and there's all these beautiful women in hardly dressed clothes. He's like, you know this one. I've watched it 1,000 times. Me and the guys at the fire department. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's why you know Halsey.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you'll know her after she's on the CMA Awards. She's doing a duet with Lady Antebellum. And if Lady Antebellum comes by and doesn't bring Halsey by, we're going to have an issue. I'll be like, come on, y'all. Sup?
Yeah, so what are you doing this weekend, man? You got plans?
Okay, so we have standby at the fire station tomorrow morning. Really?
What is that?
Standby is where, okay, so we do our weekly training. We usually do one or two nights. It's always a guaranteed one night thing. And then once a month, we do basically where we spend a whole, 6 hours on a Saturday doing some kind of specialized training, whether it's, extraction, cutting cars up or, cave rescue. I mean, we do crazy stuff that we train because you never know what, anytime we're going to talk fire for a second. Anytime we're in the station and the fire tones drop, beep, boop, beep, beep, whatever, you don't know what sport you're going to play. So you have to be ready to play any game that you're needed. You don't know if it's going to be a heart attack. You don't know if you're going out to, help somebody who fell off a tractor. You don't know if you're going to go out to a car accident, whatever. So you have to just be prepared for all of it.
What's this weekend's specialized?
I don't know. They have been like, we're not going to tell you. Like, we did a zero-vis training, which is, very very much like real fire situations. When you go in, it's not like in the movies or the TV show. You watch Chicago Fire and they all go running in with the hose, dun, 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 and standing up. And you don't, rarely do you go into a building standing up. I mean, the conditions have to be just right. But most everything you do is crawling on your hands and knees, holding one hand to the wall because you can't see 3 inches in front of your face. The smoke is so thick. So you hold on to the wall and you use that wall to trace around the house. So if you have to go back, you can either follow your hose back or the wall. But as long as you're touching the wall.
He said follow his hose.
That's right. Where my hose at? You got to find it in the darkness. And anyway, so it's, I don't know. I don't know what the training is this weekend. They said they have a little surprise for us, and we'll see.
Well, I won't be doing any of that. I'll be watching football all day.
Well, I'm watching football after training because we start training at like 7 a.m.
Oh,
so well, then
you'll be done by 11?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, no, we'll be done at about 12:30 usually, 12:30 to 1-ish. So yeah. then I'll be able to catch the games and, you know, most of them.
Yeah. I'll be up early putting a brisket on. I got a bunch of guys coming over, like I told you.
Wouldn't you normally start that like tonight? Aren't you the guy who does your brisket like 10 to 18 hours or something? What was your last one?
The last one was just a flat, so it was a smaller piece of the cut of the meat. So it was only like 7 hours, something like that. But this is going to be a full big brisket, so it's going to take a long time. It's going to take like 15 hours.
I'm a meat eater.
So what time would that have to be? So if I want it done by, if I want it done by two,
go backwards,
two or three,
one, noon, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. So if you do it by 7 a.m., 6 or 7 a.m., you should be good.
No. Oh, no, this is going to take a long time. This is going to take a lot longer.
Oh, I thought you said 7 hours.
That was the last one.
Oh, yeah. You need to get up at about 3 a.m. and throw it on.
That always burns me, man. I do that, and then it hits a stall, and I'm stuck.
Man, I'll tell you, that's way too much work.
It's a lot of work.
I mean,
you could just go buy it.
Yeah, I like brisket. I really do. But to me, I would much rather ribs, or I would much rather.
You can do them at the same time. Just put the ribs on later, like 6 hours into it.
Yeah, that's all you need. So why would you? That's my thing. Is to me, I would rather eat ribs anyway. If I walk up somewhere, and I know this is crazy because a lot of people are like, oh, that you can't say that. That's horrible. I prefer ribs over brisket. Brisket to me, it's okay.
Depends on how good it can be. Dry. I mean,
I've had good brisket. I've had bad brisket. But I'm just saying.
You like burnt ends though, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. I like that. That's where we at. I don't know. I like anything burnt to me tastes better.
I agree.
I love the gristle on things. Like I love that mm-hmm. burnt meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I my marshmallows burnt.
I do too. I'll take like the part that you use to do burnt ends and you mm-hmm. cut it up and cube it up and I'll put it in a pan and some sauce and just let it cook a little bit longer and let it burn down. Kind of char up like that. It's really good.
Man,
I'll do that tomorrow.
This is getting me hungry.
But it's just I got one guy bringing over ribs. He's smoking two racks of ribs and a bunch of wings. And then I'm going to have a full pack of a big old brisket. So we're going to have a ton of meat.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I got 5 bets going with Patrick. I got LSU Alabama, which he won't bet on LSU.
Okay.
For luck. And then
thank you, Pete Rose.
Hey man, I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys who are like, listen,
you don't want to jinx it.
You don't wait. You have to fight, you know. And my whole thing is like, I don't want to watch games at someone else's house. It takes me out of my mojo because it takes you out of – I'm a little superstitious with it.
It's the same reason why I never play – you know, whenever I'm playing fantasy football, I never start players from the team playing my team because it's like, no, I don't want
– You're kind of rooting against them.
Yeah, I want those people to have bad days. So if I put them in on my roster for my fantasy team, then I want them to have a good day. I don't want their team to win, but I want them to have a monster day. No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You're either a fan or you're not.
Right.
So, you know, don't start. I usually don't even draft their players, like division players. I'm like, why? Why do I want to, you know, fight with that? You know, if I've got somebody having a great year, I don't want to bench them just because they're – against the other team.
Do you think, I know you're not a huge college guy, I know you look really more pro, but do you think, you know, we used to have the BCS
right.
that would decide who would play in the national championship game. And it was, for those who don't know, it was a computer. They would put the numbers into it, and it would spit out.
Like strength of schedule. Like if you play harder teams, you got more credit.
Yeah, and so it would. It had all these different categories, and you basically put the numbers in, and it spit it out. And everyone hated it. Everyone was like, they were.
People hate whatever we have.
That's right. They do. And I do, too. I didn't like the BCS because I felt that there are some teams that – they were better than what or worse than what they showed on the paper.
But the BCS was mostly made up of the polls, which is people. And the polls are spread out. I mean, there's 100 coaches and 65 media members. So it's not like it's now we have only 14 people in a room or something like that.
Oh, I thought the AP was like 1,000.
No, the AP's. No, it's like 65.
Oh, it's not that big.
Wow.
But now we have the committee.
There's not a whole lot of sports writers left in America.
Well, at that level.
the newspapers have kind of whittled that down a little bit.
And I think at its height, it had maybe 100 people. But
so now we're at this. We have a committee, and we have people who, you remember Condoleezza Rice used to be on it. She was one of the first members. So we have all these different people who are on it, and they meet once a week, and they release it on Tuesdays. From here on out, on who gets ranked what. So you have, they go one all the way through, what, 20?
25.
I still love the way basketball does March Madness. And I know every time I bring it up, Patrick poo-poos it down.
Seriously.
But I think you do 16 teams. I don't think you do a giant tournament.
Awful.
You do 16 teams and you let them whittle themselves down.
I know. It would be fun.
It would be
exciting.
Fun. You could end up with a crazy situation with a Cinderella.
No, you won't.
You can't have a Cinderella right
Cinderella
now.
Cinderella can't win football. Not that many games in a row. Cinderella can win one game.
You never know. You never know.
I do think that it is.
I'm telling you, you take some small school and make them play a bigger school. They don't have the depth. They don't have the.
They don't. You don't. You can't take App State to go play.
What if you go to eight teams?
Well, that's the talk. Is that a lot of people are like expand it to
eight teams? And here's why. Okay, because this is college football. This is what it is. The reason everybody's talking about LSU Alabama, Penn State, Minnesota is because these games matter. If we had an 8-team playoff. At this point in the season, there'd be no question. LSU and Alabama are going to play again. They're going to both make it to the playoff. It doesn't really matter. It takes the entire mystery out of it.
There's no scenario
in which both these teams don't end up in the top eight if you have eight.
And I also think that you would end up with the same teams a lot.
Of course.
Well, you mean like we do now?
Alabama and Clemson
in
it every
year? Pretty
much
what it's been lately.
And I mean, even with only four teams, making the playoff is the only thing that matters. Everything else is. It used to be all the bowls were cool, and where you finished mattered. You finished third, that was a great season. Florida State finished in the top five 14 years in a row. No one's ever going to do that again, but that was incredible. And you know that was one of the top programs of that era. Now it's like, does anyone know where their team finished last year if you didn't finish first or second? I know, but most people don't. And it used to mean something. A top 10 finish was great. Your school was one of the best 10 schools. There's 100. It's not the NFL. There are 119 programs or whatever, 139 programs.
It will morph into something, Bubba. I think you're right. I think it will go into
some kind of extra expanded playoff.
Something in some form. And I don't know if you break out the teams differently or what, but I think it's fun. It would be fun. And having a March Madness-type bracket tournament system is fun, but it really does not help the small schools. They just don't have the depth.
I think it totally takes away from the regular season.
LSU has lost Michael Divinity, starting a linebacker. He's off the team. He's a senior. He's gone. But you know what? The second guy, he's great. You do that at like a ULL, that's maybe a bad example, but a smaller school.
App State.
They're just, well, that's a bad one too.
No,
Liberty.
App State's going to, they're good.
Their first ones are good.
That's what I'm saying.
They're second, but you get past that, they're just not quite ready. And so,
I think it helps the top 30 teams. It helps them get better. And by Cinderella's, you could have somebody in the top 30 who ends up in the, you know, top 8 by the end of the season. And I think that's where you have a potential for like an App State to win a national championship.
No chance.
Or somebody from the American Conference or something. You don't know. I mean, think how crazy it would be if like Navy or Air Force or somebody like that had a chance to play for a national championship.
But they're still not going to get in. You have 8 teams. We're going to find a way to keep those guys out. And you're going to have the second and third best team in the SEC make the playoff.
Dude, could you imagine, though, could you imagine how crazy it would be if you have one of the military academies? Actually, I mean, imagine Army or somebody. To me, there would be no better, bigger story.
There is no way that one of those schools will ever make the playoff, period. This is not the 40s. We're not fighting World War II. We don't have the best players in the country playing for Army. It's not going to happen.
No, they play for Clemson, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon.
What was it? When Willie Taggart got fired, they said there are 14 elite programs in the country. They based that on having won a national championship in the last 20 years or played for one in the last 10 years.
17.
14.
14.
14 programs. That's it.
Yep, and those are the same ones you hear.
And that's why I want a bigger playoff system because I want parity. I want some of these smaller schools.
But you have to expand it way past 8.
It's going to be those 14 teams.
That's why I said 16, but y'all poo-pooed on that. Y'all just
it's horrible.
It's horrible.
Destroying the sport.
Horrible.
What do you think,
and here's why I know it's a bad idea, because Bubba doesn't like college football. Bubba's not a college football fan.
Oh, here it comes.
It's always
my sport,
somebody,
my choice.
I'm saying it's always somebody who doesn't care about college football who wants to change it.
You don't have a passion for blah, blah, blah.
You don't. Has Bubba ever had a football conversation with us that he didn't morph into talking about the Saints?
No.
No, never.
I didn't even bring them up.
What
I didn't even bring them up.
That's what I'm saying. He's a pro guy. That's what I'm saying. That's his thing. I mean,
dude, I love college football because I love seeing the new players who are going to be on my roster next year. I love that.
Well, you better hope you get
Burrow. And again, you get those crazy situations where you have these undrafted guys. That's my favorite stories in the NFL. You have these guys that go undrafted that end up making not only the roster, but they end up becoming superstars.
Yeah. You don't care about this at all, do you, Carson?
No, my degree says Ole Miss, so hottie toddy, and I enjoy football games, and I like to watch football, but like, this whole, like, maybe it's because my team, we haven't played at the national championship ever. So what do we care? We have a good time.
Not ever.
They were ranked number 2, what, 4 years ago?
When we beat Alabama for the second time?
Yeah. In life?
There was a time.
No, we bought them 2 years in a row. We beat them at home and then away in Tuscaloosa.
I remember if it was 4.
When was the last time LSU beat Alabama?
You know what? That hurt. And I didn't need that in my life. Get out.
Carson's awful.
That's
right. I am a legend.
Yeah, this is, LSU Ole Miss, this will be, we have not won in the last, what,
LSU
seven?
Alabama, you mean?
Yeah, LSU.
8 tries in a row.
And going into this an underdog. Going into this as an underdog, which is where you want to be, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and the line is dropping. It was at, what, 7.5? It's down to 6, I think. So it's going to be a good game anyway. The Minnesota game is going to be great. Minnesota Penn State.
I'm going to turn this around though to something else that just to get off the football thing. Patrick has been unbelievably booking some great guests. We had Lanco this. I mean, like just in the past week, Lanco, Craig Morgan, Chris Lane, Luke Combs. Like in the same week, we have had the best guests on the show. Then Monday we're doing the Veterans Day show, and then you got it hooked up where we're out at the CMAs again. I mean, we never get to say thank you for Patrick. If you ever wonder who gets all the guests, it's Patrick and Carson. They're the ones who
mostly Carson now. I mostly just sit
back.
Well,
let me take that.
We tag team this. We are like the Rockers.
So thank you, Carson, for kicking some major butt.
Midnight Express.
So
yeah.
what are some of the
Legion of Doom?
Since our brains, Big D and I are mainly in the show, the daily thing. What are some of the behind the scenes things? Is there any drama going on with the CMA Awards? I know they're doing the big salute to women, and
I like this.
They're doing the big opening and all of that kind of thing. But is there drama around Brad Paisley getting the boot? Did he get fired or did he walk away?
Nobody knows. Nobody will.
Yeah,
call.
Nobody knows.
I mean, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was Carrie Underwood hosting with, and we were expecting to hear Brad Paisley, and then they're Reba and Dolly, and we're what?
Yeah.
I mean,
which is a shame because I think Brad Paisley is such a wit.
I thought,
and I think he's so dry and deadpan. He's fantastic.
Perfect.
The two of them played off of each other so well. And I'm kind of brokenhearted because weren't they like, what if he would have been hosting this year, he would have broken the record. He and Carrie.
Well, she still will.
She still will. But I'm saying he would have done it. Do you think that's?
Yeah. Didn't they tie Vince Gill last year?
I think so.
Carrie's gonna break herself. I don't know, man. I think this is the last year for her. I think they give her one more
just to get the record, and she owns the record. Move.
I think it just
does. She get a banner? Do they raise a banner?
Yeah,
for
they
her?
Raise a banner in the Bridgestone Arena, like a hockey banner. I think that maybe you can say it was time for a change. It had gotten stale. Like Vince was great at it. Nobody thought Vince wasn't doing a fantastic job, but it was time to just shake it up.
Did anybody really feel that it needed to be
shook? Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it was ready to be shook.
It's one of those things. You know, they got really unlucky with the Cubs winning the World Series. I don't think the CMAs will tell you that, but it really messed them up. Because the biggest year they were ever going to have 3 years ago is the 50th anniversary. They were smart enough to go, the election is this week where we usually do it, so we'll do it the next week. And then when they did that, it ended up being, well, if the World Series goes to a Game 7, it'll be the same night. And nobody thought about that. And what are the chances the World Series goes to Game 7?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, and what are the chances it's the Cubs playing for – and the Indians
versus
who hadn't
the Indians.
Won in
yeah.
forever. So two teams that have – oh, my – but the Cubs, seriously.
Yeah.
The Cubs winning the World Series for the first time in 100 years.
That you had actually – like Brett Eldridge skipped the award.
He skipped it.
Because he wanted to be at the game.
Yeah, Lon Helton won the CMA that year
went
in
the
art category. Went to the game instead. And I went to it – I will say, went to the best – one of the best parties I've ever been to in my life. Went to the Universal Music after party because – and they had a big screen set up where people were sitting in a room watching the game. Like in this big ballroom with tables and stuff. And I was sitting there and I look over and there's George Strait and Alan Jackson and Taylor Swift and, all the. And I'm like, oh, wow, I am watching the World Series with George Strait. This is the coolest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
That's great, dude. I mean, that's a good
story. But that's how big it was. Like, people had left the CMA Awards and instead of having a big party patting each other on the back, they went and watched the end of the World Series. So the ratings were not good that year. It was the best.
Is there anything that could be messing with it this year? Any story that's going on? Or
well, they missed the World Series, thank God.
Yeah, and that's then, done. So no, I think they're fine.
I think they're all right, but
be
I
good.
Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's always.
So, is there drama?
Fine.
Is there anything going on? Like, I'm going to say it. I can't wait to talk to Kane Brown. I want to see how he feels about being slighted. Kane should have won something this year.
I think Kane is going to be on lockdown for that.
I don't think Kane's going to be at the thing.
You don't think he's going to? Why?
No way.
Kane Brown.
Why would you go to the CMA
interviews?
Kane Brown, we believe you should have won not just one, but maybe a couple awards this year. Instead, you're not even nominated.
Listen, how Kane Brown is not nominated for male vocalist was shocking because he had such a good year, but how was he not nominated for Best New Artist?
That album.
Again.
That album is so good. Like, I don't get it. I mean, maybe I'm fanboying here, but it is absolutely, to me, that's the biggest story of the CMAs this year, and that's what I was hoping for, is to talk with Kane at the back stage thing. But so you're saying you don't even think they're going to bring him by?
Dude, would you?
Yeah, because you also have a real easy bailout for him, which is just had the baby.
Yeah.
Can't make it.
Yeah. If you're his manager or his record label, do you want him in that room answering that question over and over again? He's bound to get irritated with it and or just, get worn down by being asked over and over again.
And he has no poker face as it is.
No.
Which kudos to him for, he just, after the third person to ask him that, it's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't even get to us. Because we're at the back of the room usually.
They stick us in the corner.
They're like, we're going to put you guys back there.
That's where they always put the bad kids.
Yeah, I'll find out Sunday where we're at because I have to go to orientation.
Yeah, we're always in the back, which is awesome because we're a little irreverent. So, whatever. Oh, and I got us a new Nerf football. We haven't done that in a couple of years where we in between interviews, Big D and I will just get out there and we'll run routes and stuff. I mean,
You know what's great about that?
What?
Okay, so they have expanded our space this year. So they've made, you know, the space between everybody's setups.
Yeah, it used to be zero space.
Yeah, so now it's wider. They call them hallways, but so now
like
there's going to be
alleys.
Yeah, there's so much more room for you to throw footballs.
Dude.
Oh, perfect.
So, like, you can actually probably get a full on game happening.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Yes.
And, like, together. we could play a little game, and then, like different random stars could join us in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe.
All right.
Whatever.
Don't get kicked out of backstage. Okay.
Have we ever gotten kicked? Actually, no, have we ever come close?
No, but there's always somebody there that almost gets kicked out. It's not usually you.
Really?
The people that almost get kicked out of the
know,
ones
everybody
who,
else seems so lame.
No, there's those people that always bring.
Brings a guitar.
You're not, you're not supposed to bring a guitar.
Oh,
they'll bring a guitar.
Hates that guy.
And then, everybody hates that.
And then they demand.
Did I say that on this podcast where everyone can hear me?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was my outside voice. Hey, but we hate that guy.
Yes, guitar bringing person, you're breaking the rules. And number two, you're just a turd for being selfish like that because you know what's up. It's really uncool to the rest of us.
I think a lot of those guys don't understand that artists hate that. They don't like you hand them a guitar and go, hey, sing one of your songs.
It's not even just that. It's that you're next door. There's another show broadcasting on each side of you and two across from you. Yeah. And it's you're ruining. So, okay, you've got Luke Bryan sitting there singing a song for 5 seconds, but you're ruining my interview with Luke Combs and his interview with Garth Brooks. Yeah. Like, you're being rude to the other artists, not just the ones you're asking.
Yeah, and don't make me fight over if you want to ruin a Garth Brooks interview, because I will cut you.
Carson will beat you down.
I will have a box cutter in our thing, because I'm working on a little side project. So we're going to do arts and crafts in between interviews.
Okay.
So, yeah, there will be a box cutter at your disposal over there. So if anybody...
somebody calls Patrick, they're like...
I'm sure it has something to do with the fire department. I had to guess.
Like, Patrick, can you come... bail Carson out of like CMA jail.
Somebody actually was doing the guitar thing, and Bubba handed her the box cutter, and it got ugly.
No, you don't need a box cutter. You just need those wire cutter.
Oh, yeah. Just
clip the wire. Just go.
Are you kidding? I would go full on John Belushi. Seriously. In Animal House. I would just grab it.
I could do that. I have my wire cutters.
But then they can still get it signed or whatever. But
that's
just
fine.
When nobody's looking, and you just cut the strings on that guitar. I'm serious. Mm.
Dude,
I'll do it.
No,
I'll bring my wire cutters and we're good.
Yeah. Just walk up in the middle of an interview and just
ding,
me for a click,
ding,
and then just walk away.
Okay,
what are they gonna do?
Okay, wait, Patrick. Since you're the guitarist of the group. If I were to go and cut any string on the guitar, what is the most important? If I can cut one to make it harder for them to play,
the ones at the top,
the thicker ones,
yeah.
the top ones. Okay.
Yeah, you can't sit there and play. You can play without the
But you
want
to cut them in
strings,
the middle, too, because you don't want to give them enough room to possibly try to restring it somehow.
Yeah, I think you should just walk up and just
if I okay,
clink,
maybe
clink, 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 like, you know.
As fast as possible.
Yep. How to win friends and influence people.
Hey, man, we would
so
be
good.
Legends. Every other show and every artist in there would think we're the coolest people
ever.
They'd
would
be like,
applaud
they
if
would.
You did that.
They would. Oh, speaking of applause, did y'all see that lady sing an opera?
Yeah,
out the window on her balcony, and then
is it
everybody
like Chile or Argentina or something. Yeah.
And she finished like just randomly singing in the middle of the street. She finished, and it was completely dead silent. And then at the end, everybody just blows up cheering, just like.
Aww.
Yeah, also, it's one of those countries that has political unrest right now, and she was singing a song that was very much pertinent
politically
to that situation.
Yes.
Friends theme or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly it.
So we got Luke
singing the Golden Girls theme.
So we got Luke. Luke was in the studio with us, got a new album out, and we want to play the interview with him. It's a pretty in-depth, lengthy interview, so we kind of want to save time for that.
Yeah, we took basically an hour's worth of audio and chopped it down to give you everything with Luke there. We had to take the songs out just for legal stuff, but we'll go ahead and put that on as soon as the little jingle from Patrick is done. Once again, thanks for listening to the podcast, which is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Luke Combs interview coming up.
That's right. I am a legend.
In 15 seconds.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
This was the podcast.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Luke Combs in the studio with us. Got an album out. He's got his Bosiva shirt on.
Yes.
He's got his Timex watch.
Absolutely. It's Timex, cheap one.
Dude, Timex made great watches.
They still do.
Yeah. I have some.
And they even own Hamilton brand. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Is that really a Timex?
No.
That's a Rolex?
It is.
Oh.
You got the X-ray.
Okay, so take us back. Where were you when you bought it, and what went through your mind?
This one?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Oh, I apologize.
I remember where I got it. Like when I, cause so actually this one, I made this one on the
website.
Yeah. Or whatever. So I essentially built it out.
The configurator.
You can create your own kind
of
thing.
Well, kind of like you can go in and like change different things on it.
So Rolex your own?
Rolex your own. Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's, yes. Why are they? Please tell me it's called that.
Oh, my gosh. I really hope it is. That's so amazing.
It needs to actually be Rolex.
Yeah,
your
Rolex,
own.
Rolex your own.
Rolex your own watch.
Yes.
Yes. I got the first one I ever got was when we played Madison Square Garden opening for Al Dean. And I went, my grandfather had a Rolex, and he worked at he was the general manager of a mill. And he was so proud of this watch because he had worked his whole life to be able to get. He'd always wanted one, and he was just like so proud of it. You know, he was always like, "Man, you know, I worked my ass off to get this thing, and I'm proud that I have it." And you know, and so I always wanted one. I knew like if I could ever get to the point where I was comfortable getting one, that I wanted to get one because I always thought that that story was really neat. So I went into the store in New York. Like, there's like a little Rolex little store on the corner there. And I go in, and I had this watch in mind that I wanted. And I was like, hey, I want this. And I'm wearing, like, I'm like full street clothes, like, looking like this.
Right.
So nobody's.
So they're not paying any attention to you at all. Yeah.
I'm in New York City, mind you.
And they're saying, country come to town.
Right.
Yeah, this kid doesn't know what he's thinking.
Right. I come in the store, and I'm like, hey, like, they have, you know, no idea, like, that I'm doing anything.
Right.
And they just think we're another guy in there trying to use the bathroom, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Really. And I'm like, hey, I'm looking for this watch. And they're like, yeah, you and everyone else, pal. And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Like, they were just like, we don't have that watch. No one has that watch. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, that's unfortunate because I'm playing Madison Square Garden tonight. And I was going to wear it when I played on stage. But since you guys don't have one, then I'll head out. And they're like, well, we've got one on hold for somebody in the back. And I was like, well, is he here? And they were like, no. And I was like,
I am.
Why don't you give him a call and see if, and they're like, yeah, we'll go give him a call and make sure he's cool with us.
They said,
we'll make sure he's cool with us, like selling it to somebody else.
And is that the watch you're wearing now?
No, that's not this watch.
And they were sitting there, obviously, whenever you paid, they're like trying to wait and see if it's declined.
Well, no. Okay, so here's what I was shocked by. Have you ever been in like the store and you go in? It's just, it's literally like
I did the same thing and bought alligator tennis shoes. Remember that? Me and Big, okay. And I was like, I want
There's
these tennis
no
shoes, but I want
the
them.
Same thing.
That's awesome.
No, it's the same thing because they looked at me like,
they're like, you can't afford it.
They're looking at me going, who buys alligator tennis
shoes? No, but I know the feeling, man.
And so they're like, yeah, okay, this guy's cool with it. And then I'm not lying to you. When you go in there, it's one room it's smaller than this room. And there's two people behind the counter, and there's watches in there. That's it. There's no other rooms. There's no other entrances.
Well, apparently there's a back, you know, where they store the watch for that guy.
Exactly. And they're like, oh, come with me. And I'm like, where are we going? There's nowhere to go. And they just go, and the wall like opens up.
What?
I'm not lying. And I go in the back.
Harps
there's a bar.
There's a bar?
There's a bar in there. There's a couple.
I never made it that far.
There's a couple rooms with couches, and they're like, have a seat. Would you like a sparkling water? I'm like, no one would ever like a sparkling water. I would like a regular one. And they come in, and I'm not lying. They have the watch, and they have these white gloves on. And I'm like, oh, man. They're like, we'll see here and there, too, in the thing. I'm like, listen, lady, I don't
need a sales pitch.
I don't know anything. I'm in here to get the watch.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like,
you don't need to
see
show.
The thing. I don't need
the experience.
A drink.
I want to be like, you know.
I'm in and out. It's like McDonald's. Yeah. Get me in and out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want the fries. I'll feel terrible about the fries after I eat them.
But you want them.
I don't want to feel terrible about them right now. I just want to eat them and then feel bad about it.
So you you get the watch.
And then I was like, man, I shouldn't have done that. But I did.
Oh. You had such a pretty woman moment. When she goes to the store and they won't sell it to her because she doesn't look right. But man, you flipped him and you pulled Madison Square Garden.
I did. I was like, well, you know, I'm just
I'm the garden.
You know, you probably heard of it.
Well, yeah,
the garden. I'm the
playing,
garden.
Playing the garden tonight.
Didn't they Kingsman you with the old hidden room?
It made the like airlock sound too.
God. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I need that in my life.
Yes. All right.
Looks like you spent a lot of money on the artwork on this. Who did the cover?
I did. It's a guy named Rob Hendon. He has a lot of paintings around town.
I knew it. It's all like very folk art.
A lot of, you probably Music Row. There's, you know, the guitars that are everywhere.
All like the murals and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the mural person do your
album cover?
I had the mural
guy do the album cover. Yeah. He actually, so my manager, Cappy, like, has always loved his paintings and stuff. And so I actually reached out to him a couple years ago and I got my manager one as a gift because he had always wanted one. And so I went over to
one to put up on the wall.
Yeah, to like hang it. Well, okay. I ended up getting him actually like he had this cool thing. He had made coffee tables that were cut out Telecasters.
Oh, cool.
And then he painted them and then like he put like a varnish over top so it's like smooth. And so I got him one of those and then he just became like a good friend of the camp over the last couple years. And when it was time to do the cover, it was like
no brainer.
We had done all these photo shoots and you know, I never liked doing just the like picture. I feel like it can be so like forgettable.
Well,
it's
like you did the stained glass look and all that.
And so I wanted to keep there to be some kind of like art thing because my dad he does art in his spare time, which is interesting because he was a maintenance man. And so all of his art, my dad's art it was all stuff that he found while he was at work, like old wires and like nuts and bolts and like
so he built like sculptures and things.
No, it's more like paintings that like he'll kind of do like he'll paint a canvas with like acrylic paint and then he'll make the design will be in all the
you mean like your music
things. Yes, absolutely. All sorts of different mediums.
Speaking of, you've got a quite a few hands in the pot in this album. You got a lot of guests on it. You got people who Brooks and Dunn. You got Eric and
That's it though. It's not too many. Two.
Yeah, I thought it was more than that actually.
actually, three.
Technically, yes. Yeah, that's
two.
Right.
Brooks and Dunn's two.
That's right. When you first time you met Ronnie Dunn, were you kind of like, dude, you're Ronnie Dunn?
Yes.
I was
absolutely.
Two.
Okay, so we performed on an award show together recently, and we did Brand New Man. And so we'd done the rehearsal, and I was like, man, this is, like, so cool. So we're on stage, and the show is happening. Show's live. It's about to happen. And we're behind one of those giant, like, video wall
things.
That's
not the moment you met.
No, that's not the moment we met.
Okay.
This is just a cool moment.
Okay.
So I'm like, the thing's down. We're about to go. I'm standing in the middle. Ronnie's on my left. Kick's on my right. And I remember having this moment where I was like, I looked over, and I was like, dude, you guys are Brooks and Dunn, and we're about to play on this award show right now. Like, I'm nervous, guys. I want you to be nervous. And Ronnie's got the shades on, he's got his guitar on, and he just goes, it ain't nervous, baby. Just a couple stallions in the starting gate waiting for it to lift up. And I was just like, let's go. I was ready to run through a wall at that point.
So at that moment, you were their ampersand. You were the and.
It was amazing.
So great. That's
it was
so
awesome.
Good.
You stallion.
Yeah.
Newest member of the Grand Ole Opry. First artist ever with 5 tracks in Billboard's Hot Country Songs Top 25 at the same time since Johnny Cash in 1959. That's stupid.
Damn, that's crazy.
first album. I want you to stop and think about that.
What?
60 years since that's happened.
That's
and it's,
crazy.
And it's you, man.
That's weird.
Geez. First album spent 48 weeks at number one. For those who don't know what that means, that's insane. The most ever for a solo male artist. You know, remember the first time you came in and I was just like, this kid will never make it.
actually, the first time he came in, we were like, oh, yeah, you're Johnny's friend or Jordan's friend.
Yeah.
So that's how we knew you as a friend of ours who was a songwriter.
Yeah, you didn't have a record deal or no. Yeah.
Awesome. And so now here you are, you engaged.
Mm-hmm.
How did you propose? Was it a cool one?
Man, it was supposed to be a cool one. Oh. I feel like all the stories, well, it ended up being awesome because it's, I got a great story out of it. So the whole story was we had just bought a house. This is about almost a year ago. This is November of last year. So I just bought a house, and we hadn't moved in yet. So my plan was I had the ring, was very excited. And I'm like, I'm going to do it the first day that we get to the house. Like okay. Because we'd already bought it, closed, and the guy that I bought it from ended up staying there for a couple months. Like, he rented it, so he had time to move and do all that stuff. And so the day finally comes, and we had movers come, and so that process is like, they spent all day at your apartment packing up everything. Uh-huh. I mean, like, we essentially just left. Like, we woke up in the morning, and we were like, oh, we're moving today. Okay.
That is the best way. That's the best way to
move. Pack the animals up, and then we'll be in our new place by this evening, right?
Yeah.
So they start at like 9 or 10. We're supposed to be done by like 8 p.m. So we went to my manager's house, which is about an hour from where I lived. So we have two cats. Don't travel well, by the way. Cats do not travel well.
No.
All you listeners out there.
Okay.
So we come out. We get the cats over to my manager's house. We're there all day. The cats both threw up on the way over.
Yummy.
So
good.
Nicole spent a couple hours giving them a bath.
This is romantic already.
Very romantic. So I had bought the cats collars with new tags on them with our new address. So her cat, Buck, she's had since college, found it when its eyes weren't even open yet. And it wasn't with a litter of kittens. It was just like, she found it at a college party, like by itself outside, like heard it crying. It's like bottle fed this thing. Like, she's absolutely obsessed with this cat. So he always likes to jump. Like, he comes and jumps on her on the couch. Well, I had this idea that we were going to show up at the house. And it was going to be like all the furniture's in and like our clothes are hung up and like our bed's made and the whole house is going to be done. So it's an hour from my manager's house to the new house. Well, we get going over there, and her cat proceeds to pee himself in the crate, throw up. He's convulsing on the way.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is becoming a big thing. She is crying, panicking. It's 11 o'clock at night by this point. They didn't finish till 11 o'clock at night. Her parents are coming in the next morning, and I've already told them I'm going to do it today. So there's no option to not do it at this point.
Dude, at that point, you got to text them and be like, Mayday, it's going to postpone this. The cat is dying.
She's still working full time at this point. So she's got her first hour-long commute into Nashville for her job on a Monday. So we get to the house around midnight. There's just stuff everywhere. Our bed is like a mile high with just clothes. All the kitchen stuff is all over the cat. It looks horrible.
Actually put everything away. They just put it in the house.
Yes. They just dumped it.
Essentially, yes. The couch wasn't even put together right. And then we get there. Both of the cats need a bath again for the second time in the same day. So I'm like, what am I going to do? So essentially, I come out in the kitchen. It's 12:30 at night. She's got to wake up in a couple hours and drive an hour into town to go to work and pick her parents up from the airport. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to level with you here. I had this really great plan to do this. And she was like, well, what are you talking about? I was like, I bought these collars right here. And they weren't even on the cats because the cats were hiding somewhere in the house.
Right.
They're terrified. They don't know what's going on. And I was like, and I got you this too. And it was supposed to be on there. And then I just got down on a knee in the kitchen and just asked in the midst of all the pure chaos.
And she cried again.
Yes, it was awesome. It actually ended up being really great because we got a really great story out of it.
Yeah,
so.
It actually is better than
it's
the perfect
one. And the perfect one would have been like, oh, that guy's cheesy, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you know? No,
and now
better.
I look back on it, I'm like, it's probably the way it was meant to be.
You took her really crappy, horrific day and turned it around. And it couldn't have worked out any better because she went to work the next morning with a ring on her finger.
Yep.
And the whole time she's driving, she's got her left hand up on the wheel. And she's just like, oh, my gosh, she probably cried the whole way to work.
I hope so.
She's trying to look at it through the cat puke. as she's driving to the jeweler to see how many carats it really is. don't doubt yourself. I'm telling you, they do
that. They do that.
I know.
They do it.
I know. That's kind of terrifying to think about.
We actually call that, I need to get this appraised for our insurance.
For insurance purposes.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that's always fun.
Yeah.
It's not. Congratulations on all that. And congrats on this new album. If you want to get it, here's what you look for. Luke Combs.
If you want to get it.
Luke Combs. That's what you're looking for. What you see is what you get. Dude, it's always good to see you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank y'all.
Be safe and loving the new album. Get it today. Luke Combs, everyone.
Thank y'all.